goal of our research was to determine how agricultural management factors and environmental factors combine in an agroecosystem to control microbial community structure. The system we're studying here is a tomato production system with a hairy vetch cover crop. The vetch cover crop is planted in the fall, grows over the winter, is mowed in the spring, the shoots are left in place, and the tomato seedlings are planted right through it. In a previous study, we found large differences in community structure between that system and a black plastic mulch system, which I'm sure many of you know is commonly used to warm up the soil quicker in the springtime to maintain soil moisture and to prevent weeds. So, and the purpose of this study was to look at that contrast more carefully, try and understand why these systems were so different in community composition. Okay, now you, I guess. Tried everything else, but not that. But that's the end, not the beginning. That'll work.
Okay.
So, our hypotheses were that the temperature and moisture differences between the black plastic covered and the cover crop treatments were partly or largely responsible for the treatment effects on soil microbial community composition, and also that different species of cover crops had unique root and shoot effects on soil microbial community composition. So this was a 3-year field study. Here's the field layout for the first year. It was randomized every year. So we have, here's our black poly treatment. We also used white poly to give us a temperature contrast, and bare soil as the control. Here we have vetch. In another plot, we grew the vetch over the winter, but then when we mowed the shoots down, instead of leaving them in place, we moved them to a neighboring previously bare plot. So now we have vetch roots and vetch shoots. We also did the same with rye roots and rye shoots. So we have a temperature contrast between black and white poly. We've got two different cover crops, and we can start to separate out root and shoot effects from our cover crops. We monitored soil moisture throughout the field 1 to 3 times per week during the tomato growing system. We also had temperature loggers in 3 of the treatments, and we also collected a wide variety of data, including soil texture, soil pH, and a variety of measurements of the tomato plants and of the cover crop biomass, both root and shoot. I should also add this field has a slight natural moisture gradient. The back side of the field is naturally wetter than the front, and block 4 always runs at a higher pH than the other blocks. So we do have some environmental gradients in this field. There's a very slight soil texture gradient, but it is quite slight. Here's a graph showing total PLFA as a measure of microbial biomass for 3 treatments: black poly, which is in white, rye, which is yellow, and vetch, which is cyan. Here's in the fall, the new beds are formed, and we do an initial sampling. This is in early May, right before the cover crop gets mowed, and here we are in the tomato cropping season, July, August, and September. And as you can see, the biomass tended to rise from fall to spring, and the cover crop tended to stay higher. This shows 3 years worth of data, and it certainly does not reproduce perfectly from year to year, but overall it appears that the vetch and the rye are giving higher microbial biomass than the black poly, which of course we would expect. This turns out to be true for every biomarker we look at. We use PLFA biomarkers to look at taxonomic groups, and for every one, the pattern is similar. However, the proportions of the different biomarkers indicating community composition are quite different. Here's tomato rhizosphere. The previous slide was bulk soil. So this is data collected in July, August, and September across all 3 years. And as you can see, the bare black poly and white poly on the left are lower biomass than all of the rye treatments and all of the vetch treatments. We get the highest biomass under vetch and vet shoots. Although that's not statistically significant, this was quite uniform. By every measure we use, vetch and vetch shoots seem to get slightly higher responses in the rhizosphere than vetch roots or the rye treatments. Now, if we go to the proportional data to look at community composition, this is in bulk soil across 3 years. Here's the proportion of gram-negative bacteria, and you can see the gram-negative bacteria are going up over the winter from September to early spring, and then they're dropping back down during the tomato cropping season. The vetch tends to run higher than the other treatments, and the black poly is certainly running the lowest for the proportion of gram-negatives in bulk soil. If we look at gram-positive proportions, exactly the opposite. Gram-positives go down over the winter. They're lowest for vetch and for rye compared to black poly, and it increases back in the summer. So we see a big difference for gram-negatives and gram-positives. Actinos look more similar to the gram-positives. Fungi and AM fungi look more similar to the gram-negatives. So this is a nice clear-cut story, relatively easy to interpret, which means it's time to go to multivariate analysis and confuse everything. So this is a canonical community ordination using Tinoco on our species data for three treatments, black poly, white poly, and vetch. We chose these three treatments because this is where we had our temperature probes in place. So we have for all three treatments, we have a complete set of environmental variables. And what we can see is that over here in green is our vetch. The black and the red are the white poly and the black poly. So vetch appears to be more different from the two plastic systems than they are from each other, even though all three of them are different in temperature. Vetch is the coolest, black poly is the hottest, white poly is intermediate, yet if you look at this data, it appears that the vetch is different, black and white poly are not different from each other. We can add our species variables now, and we see that protozoa, gram-negatives, and AM fungi are all pointing in the vetch direction, so the community composition of those, the proportion of those is higher under vetch. Gram-positives and actinos are higher over towards the black and white poly side. Fungi don't seem to be aligned with either treatment. And finally, we can add our environmental vectors. And now we can start to ask the question we're really interested in. How does management and environment affect community composition? So first, we've got vectors for vetch, which obviously points to where all the vetch samples are. Here's white poly and black poly. They're very similar. They're closely aligned, even though there's a temperature difference between them. Temperature vector is, if I can get my mouse, over here, oriented towards the black poly, as you'd expect, because that's where the highest temperatures are. Moisture is also pointing in this direction because in 2006 there was higher soil moisture under the black and white poly. And this plot looks rather similar for the rhizosphere, and it looks rather similar for every year. The only key difference we see from year to year is that in 2007 the moisture vector points in the opposite direction. It's pointing towards vetch. The reason is the timing of the rainfall. In 2006, the soil was wet when we covered it with black poly, and it stayed wet all year long. In 2007, the soil was dry. We got more rain later on, so it was wetter under vetch than it was under black poly. Now, the fact that the moisture vector switched direction in another year could be interpreted as meaning that there was an environmental effect of moisture. One year, it was increasing the gram-positives and the actinos, and the next year that moisture effect was the opposite, increasing the gram-negatives, protozoa and arbusto and mycorrhiza. Obviously, that seems extremely unlikely. Instead, what's happening is that environmental effect is confounded by the treatment effect. We've got strong interactions between variables that complicates the interpretation of all of this data. But it's clear that the moisture effect should not be opposite for species in two different years, so we don't think it was significant, even though it shows up as a strong vector here. I haven't shown vectors for a wide variety of other things we've put into this analysis, pH, C, soil texture, cover crop biomass, and tomato plant response, none of those were significant. The vectors are very small and only complicate the graph. For a more rigorous analysis of the relative effects of things, we can take the same analysis, put it through a decomposition of variance. All we're doing now is asking how much of the variance is explained by each of these factors. So we've got the four columns. I've got the years 2006 and 2007, bulk and rhizosphere. The total explained variance is running 60 to 80%, which is really excellent for this kind of analysis. Of that, the total variance due to treatment is running 23% up to 33%. So the treatment alone, and this is statistically significant, is explaining about half of the total explained variance. If we look at other factors, we can go down to moisture and temperature, and those are typically explaining, say, 4 to 17%. Only in one case was that significant. For temperature in the rhizosphere in 2007, it was significant, but in no other cases. We also plugged in all the other variables we looked at, pH, texture, plant response, and cover crop biomass, and we still see no significant effect. None of those are ever significant. The amount of variance they explained was very small. Finally, I'd like to point out in the next to last row, total share variance is running 23% to 43%. There's a huge amount of share variance in this. The reason is our temperature, our treatments are affecting the environmental variables. Okay, and when that happens, you're going to have a lot of shared variance, which does make it a little more complicated to interpret the data. But I think the results are pretty clear. The variance due to treatment is much higher and more significant than anything else. It's the imposed treatments that are controlling community composition in this agroecosystem, not the environmental variables. So our conclusions, cover cropping is primarily responsible for the observed differences rather than environmental factors. Both roots and shoots contributed. One thing I didn't show you or didn't discuss with you was more detailed analysis of the seasonal effect. If roots contribute, is it because of rhizosphere exudates during the winter, or is it because of roots decomposing during the spring and summer? Our data showing that biomass goes up from fall to spring would suggest that those root exudates during the winter are at least partly responsible for the response to roots. Our gram positives and actinos responded less to cover crops. We presume this is because they were less copiotrophic as a group and were not responding as much to that readily available carbon as other groups of bacteria and the fungi. Higher soil temperatures under black poly presumably accentuated this effect through faster cycling of the readily available carbon. The readily available carbon is respired faster, it's lost. You can then let the gram positives, which prefer the recalcitrant carbon, become higher in proportion. And finally, in this data I did not show you, vet shoots increased the gram negatives, the fungi, and the AM fungi in the tomato rhizosphere. And we think this may be a priming effect, synergism between the rhizosphere nutrients and nutrients released by the vet shoots, or an alteration of tomato physiology leading to increased root exudation. And we do have some data showing that vetch does alter gene expression in the tomato plant. This work has been published in Soil Biology and Biochemistry earlier this year, and in a talk on Wednesday, morning. Jim Wall is going to talk about other methods we've used for this data set, such as T-riflet and chiro-sequencing, and compare TLFA, TLFA, and chiro-sequencing. As a teaser to his talk, here's T-riflet of Archaebacteria, which of course we can't get by TLFA. The intriguing thing here is that red, which is rye, is different from vetch and from black solid. So this graph would appear to suggest that rye cover cropping has a strong effect on Archaebacteria community structure. And finally, from chiro-sequencing, this is very preliminary data, which June is going to rip apart here in his talk. it would appear that the Rhizosphere vetch, which is our green line, has the highest diversity, and black poly bulk soil has the lowest bacterial diversity. An awful lot of people contributed to this on the field side, on the laboratory side, and on the pyrosequencing. Collaborators from NABC and Ames helped us with the pyrosequencing. And thank you.
We have time for a couple questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering, projecting forward a decade, two decades, how do you expect those changes in our coding community to continue over that time frame?
Yeah.
And secondly, why does it matter? Why, what effect on function do you think?
Clearly, function is the direction we need to go. I guess I'm personally committed to the concept that we ought to know more about what controls community structure and composition. Out of strong intellectual curiosity, but I think in the long run it will be important intellectually. I guess I don't think we can answer all questions about microbial communities, even practical questions, just by looking at function. I think we probably do need to know how community structure changes as well. As far as your first question, yeah, your question is, would these changes continue to accumulate with time? At what point would we reach a steady state? Clearly, we have to reach a steady state at some point. I can't believe those changes are not going to continue year after year. And if there's an increase in biomass, I assume at some point it has to level off. How long that takes, I don't know. I suspect your meta-study analysis is a more realistic way to answer that question than to try and lengthen this field experiment forever.
I'm going to ask Paul to answer Matt's question. But did I just say you ran lines over a year?
We ran that experiment for 3 years, and I didn't say this. In order to simulate a crop rotation, the second year we moved the whole experiment to an adjacent field, and we planted the first field in rye. The third year we moved the field back. So in essence, the first and third years were in the same field with an intervening year of rye.
Well, I'm wondering if you have a plot to have an edge on it, you can have this year.
Right.
Now, the next year it has black plastic.
Right.
That's
again, because we randomized the experiment between those years and had an intervening treatment. We'd like to believe that people growing these high-value vegetables would do a crop rotation rather than grow the same vegetable in the same plot every year, even though we all know that's not true in some parts of the country. We were trying to simulate a crop rotation there. But you're absolutely right, and that, I think it's getting back to Stuart's question. What would happen if you just grew it in vetch year after year versus alternating vetch and black poly? The best answer I can give you, though, is that the trends we saw were the same all 3 years, regardless of what had been in each plot the year before. And in my personal experience, this experiment was much more reproducible than other field experiments I've participated in. To have 3 years and multiple sampling each year and get the same results every year is something I don't usually see. And I think that says something about how strong the cover crop effect was, that it really did overpower all the other effects, including the stochastic effects that we have no way to identify.